So, in fact, I have already presented similar talk in the very same place half a year ago, but I don't think there is a single person who was in the audience then. And as you will see, I will be talking about the stuff which doesn't care very much whether you're dealing with graphs, Riemannian manifolds, or complex manifolds. And so, last time I presented it as something about manifolds, now I will present it as something about graphs. So, what I will be talking about is Liouville theorems, as it says, and we'll see what it is. First of all, what I will present is contained in these two papers. This preprint to appear, and actually it's in our box, program box in the library, so if anyone wants to look at it. So, what are, first of all, classical Liouville theorems? Everyone knows what those are, that there are two incarnations of Liouville theorem. One is about harmonic functions, one about an entire function. So, if you have a harmonic function in Rn, which grows as a polynomial, it is a polynomial. And therefore, the space of harmonic functions, and actually I look at harmonic functions as solutions of this equation, since I will replace Laplacian later on by something else. So the space of solutions of this Laplace equation that grow polynomially with a fixed rate is finite dimensional, and actually we exactly know the dimension. So I will use all the time this notation. V sub n of an operator is the space of solutions of this operator times u equals zero that grow not faster than polynomial of degree n. And so this is a well-known formula through binomial coefficients that describes how many harmonic polynomials of degree n capital in n-dimensional space we have. It's very easy to come up with this formula. And holomorphic incarnation is that if you have an entire function in CM that grows polynomially, then it is a holomorphic polynomial, and so in this case the operator is d bar, and this space is finite dimensional, and dimension is equal to this. So, validity of Liouville theorem will mean in my talk finite dimensionality of the space of solutions of fixed polynomial growth. So this is what I will mean by Liouville theorems. Now, we will look at several types of generalizations that people have been considering in the last several decades. The most well-known one was concerns generalization of Liouville type theorems to more general manifolds, keeping the operator essentially the same. It's Laplace, Beltramian, general non-compact Riemannian manifold. Simple examples show that if you don't assume anything, this is just not going to work. For instance, if you look at hyperbolic plane, there is an infinite dimensional space of harmonic functions that are bounded there, and there is no Liouville theorem for hyperbolic plane. And the reason is that it's related to negativity of the curvature. So Estiao posed 30-something years ago the following conjecture, that if you have a non-compact manifold with non-negative Ricci curvature, then for any rate of polynomial growth, this space where delta sub m is Laplace-Beltrami operator is finite dimensional. He also kind of conjectured, he didn't very much push this question, that it should be less or equal. He asked in passing whether it's true that the highest dimension is achieved in the flat case. Now, this was solved in the pretty well-known paper by Kolding and Minicozzi in Annals in 97, and there were some partial results before that by other authors. They did prove this conjecture, and this question, it seems to be that it's probably not exactly correct, that the highest dimension. There are examples by Donnelly that cast doubt on this, but Yao was smart enough not to make a big conjecture out of this. So,
what are the manifolds they consider, Donnelly?
They consider I don't remember exactly now which were results of Li and Wang and Donnelly Pfefferman. There were restrictions, for instance, on dimension of manifold. Small dimensional cases were proven before, but the full blown conjecture was proven by Colden and Nicozzi. Actually, they proved more than Yao asked. They didn't assume non-negativity of the curvature conjecture. They assumed some two properties that pop up in harmonic in analysis of non-compact manifolds all the time. I will not specify them. I will not need them. But these are volume doubling property and uniform Poincaré inequality. And everyone who worked with non-compact manifolds knows that this is standard kind of question. In particular, what they did, again, they proved more than this statement. What they did implied the following: that if your manifold is the space of a covering over a compact base, you have compact manifold and your manifold is covering, and if the deck group, the group of the covering, is nilpotent, then this covering space did satisfy their condition, and it implied that for any nilpotent covering of a compact manifold, you have Liouville theorems. So these were wonderful and pretty difficult to prove results. Now, there is another direction in which people went. What if you, for instance...
Could you say geometrically, what does it mean to have a nilpotent group?
Now, in particular, it means that the volume of the ball grows polynomially with the radius. That's one of the important issues here. And by the way, that's a good question, since it looks like, if you look at covering manifolds, if your covering group is not nilpotent or at least virtually nilpotent, then probably Liouville theorem, the question about Liouville theorem posed this way is wrong question, since you try to control polynomial growth of solutions while the ball grows super polynomially, exponentially. The Gromov theorem says that if you have polynomial growth, you have virtually nilpotent group of the covering. So it looks like what they did was, in terms of coverings, was the best thing you can do. Now, there was another direction of generalization where instead of going to more general manifolds, keeping essentially the same Laplace-Beltrami operator, you can keep the manifold flat, but you can look for more general operators, and there was a significant splash in the beginning of 90s where Avellaneda, Lin, and then Moser and Struve, they proved the following thing. If you have a divergent type operator like this in Rn, and if the coefficients are periodic, then they proved that the dimension, not only that the dimensions of those spaces of polynomially growing solutions for this operator are fine. They've proved that they are exactly the same as for Laplacian. You have as many polynomially growing solutions as harmonic polynomials in this case. And this is the only known case when you have equalities, when you have dimensions found exactly. There were some generalizations for operators like that a little bit later by Li and Wang, and the technique was of homogenization theory. And at that time, it looked like these were kind of not very trivial results. Now, there are several natural questions. Why do you need the operators to be of divergence type? Can you look at periodic operator, and there are reasons to assume that it's elliptic, and ask, does Liouville theorem hold for this operator or not? Then another question that somehow has not been addressed at all is the following. You have a bunch of solution spaces, like solutions that grow linearly, quadratically, cubically. Certainly, if one of them is finite dimensional, all those with smaller n are also finite dimensional since they are nested. However, it's not obvious that if you have finitely many independent cubically growing solutions, you have finitely many growing to the degree 4. So the question is, can it be that you have some of those solution spaces finite dimensional, but some not? do they become finite dimensional simultaneously? Can you do something for higher order operators or for systems? Let's say, can you handle D bar? D bar is an overdetermined elliptic operator. So can you do something for that? And now, does it have to be Rn, or you can look at a covering of a compact manifold? In Rn case, it's covering of a torus. And assume that the group is either abelian, like in the previous in the results in the previous case, the group here of periods is abelian, or maybe, hopefully, virtually nilpotent. You cannot go further in this formulation. So I will give you answers to all this. But before I do this, I will tell you about other activities. A parallel activity was going on for holomorphic functions. People have been studying Liouville property for holomorphic functions. Namely, this means you have a covering of compact manifold, complex analytic manifold. On a compact analytic manifold, you have only constant harmonic functions, nothing else. Oh, constant analytic functions, nothing else. Liouville is there trivially. But what if you have a non-compact covering, complex analytic manifold that covers compact one? And do you have Liouville theorem? Is it true, for instance, that all this space, I remind you, this space denotes bounded holomorphic functions, solutions d bar u equals 0 that are bounded? So, for instance, are those guys bounded of finite dimension? So what was known, Vladimir Lean has proven probably already 20 years, about 20 years ago, that on any nilpotent covering, or virtually nilpotent is the same, of a compact complex manifold, there is only constant bounded holomorphic function. So this space has dimension 1. Almost nothing was known about holomorphic functions of polynomial growth. Even if your covering is Z covering, the group of the covering is Z, the result was known only when the base is a Keller manifold. Without going into those details, I can say that if it's Keller, you reduce everything to harmonic case, and then Kolding Minicoetze give you the answer. So it's not essentially a new result. So even for the Z covering, the answer was not known for this. And there was pretty big activity. There are surveys in this. And the third area where people were doing similar things was on graphs and discrete groups. When you have a covering of a graph, a finite graph, let's say abelian covering, like crystal lattice that Toshi considered in the previous seminar. How many bounded harmonic functions do you have? How many polynomially growing harmonic functions? And this goes back pretty far. For instance, Margulis had a paper about this quite some time ago. And the interest in this question is in particular related to study of discrete groups. It's known that the question of whether you have non-trivial, non-constant bounded harmonic functions is intimately related to amenability of the group. So there were these three parallel but completely unrelated activities, and it looked like they might be different, but you will see that they're not. So now look, now here is the main setup. So what you have a compact manifold, which could be Riemannian manifold, analytic manifold, graph, quantum graph, whatever you want, of certain dimension D. And you have covering with the free abelian group, that group. You don't have to assume that it's free abelian, but you can reduce to the case of free abelian coverings. And this covering group is of certain different dimension, different rank N. You will see that this dimension of the manifold will become completely irrelevant. What will be relevant? Only the rank of the group of the covering. It's what's called Gromov ideology. When you look from afar at this picture, you see the covering, the deck group, you don't see anything else. You don't see details of the manifold. So now let us try to, and you have on this covering, you have a periodic elliptic operator. I will not specify what it means. On graphs, it means essentially nothing. In analytic case, say this is D bar. And in Riemannian case, that's elliptic in standard meaning. Now, first comment. That if you have a solution of this equation which grows polynomially, then zero must be in the spectrum of your operator. You must be on the spectrum. If you are not sitting on the spectrum, you cannot have any polynomially bounded solutions. And this is so-called Schnoll theorem, which holds in PDEs, on graphs, everywhere, which says that if you have solution growing sub-exponentially, you are on the spectrum. And now it tells you that you are, this is somehow related to the spectrum. Now if you return to divergent type operators, you are sitting at the bottom of the spectrum. Zero is the bottom of the spectrum, divergent type operator. Now, a crash course of solid state theory. 2 seconds. Of course, or Flaquet theory. So we have, when we deal with periodic operators, you need to use Flaquet block theory. So quick reminder. So a quasi-momentum or wave vector K in Rn, in terms of group, it's just, it corresponds to this character of the group, of the covering group. Flaquet block solution with this quasi-momentum is such a solution or just a function on the covering such that if you shift it by the element of the group, it gets multiplied by this character. It's kind of automorphic function corresponding to this character. Now, if you restrict your operator only on those functions, you will get an operator that is called L on K, L of K, and you can push it down to the base. Due to this condition, everything boils down to acting on periodic functions. So everything boils down to action on periodic function or actually on sections of certain bundle on the base. I will not discuss this. And now you have the so-called dispersion relation. What is it? Dispersion relation tells you how the eigenvalues of this operator L of K, again, L of K is operator L acting on those automorphic functions. Since they are automorphic, L of K acts on compact manifold. Fundamental domain. So it has discrete spectrum. Now this spectrum is lambdas. So let's say you chose this K here. Then you have lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda 3, etc. And when you change K, they move around. You have this graph. This is how the spectrum of L of K depends on K. It's so-called dispersion relation. It's well known in Flaquet block theory that the spectrum of the operator L on the whole covering, without restricting to those functions, is just the range of this multiple-valued function. In other words, you project this dispersion curve onto the spectral axis, and what is shaded is the spectrum. And here you have gaps in the spectrum. So that's Flaquet theory. Now I need one more notion, Fermi surface. And I have to apologize to physicists present in the audience that in physics, Fermi surface corresponds to certain special value of energy. Here, I fix any value of energy. Actually, I fix zero. You remember, zero in the spectrum was our relation of spectral theory to Liouville theorems. So, what is the Fermi surface? Fermi surface is the set of all k's for which zero is in the spectrum of L of k. So geometrically, you draw this dispersion curve that I had on the previous slide, and you take the level curve of level zero. So here is the Fermi surface. Now, how is it related to the spectrum? If zero is not in the spectrum, there is no level curve. You don't touch the graph, so it's empty. If you are inside of the spectrum, usually you get this kind of surface, so it has infinitely many points. When you are at the edge of the spectrum, you are touching right here, and it's most probable that the number of points in the level set, if you are right at the edge of the spectrum, will be finite. It doesn't have to be. You can have a flat edge, but normally you expect it to be fine. Now, here is the theorem that gives criterion for Liouville theorem to hold. It's very simple theory. I would say it's essentially trivial, although it takes quite a few pages to prove, but those pages are filled with things that experts in the area know well. So this is the theorem, that the following things are equivalent. First, you have you have Liouville theorem for certain rate n of growth, for one. Now, second, you have Liouville theorem for all of them. And third, the number of points in the Fermi surface is finite. So this is necessary and sufficient condition. So in other words, you want to know whether you have Liouville theorem or not. What you need to do, you need to look, you're solving this equation, you need to look at solutions that have the following form: e to the power ikx v of x, where v is periodic. And you need to count for how many values of k you have a non-trivial solution here. Values of k should be counted modulo natural periodicity. If you add 2 pi to k, it doesn't change anything. So modulo this periodicity, the theorem, the criterion says, you have to have only finitely many values of k for which you have non-trivial solution, and that necessary and sufficient for Liouville theorem to hold. Now, before I show you an example how powerful this simple theorem is, so how should we visualize? On dispersion curve, that's how it should look like. You expect that Liouville type theorem holds essentially, where would you expect it? At the edges of the spectrum, where you barely touch the dispersion curve. So if you have spectrum here, then gap, and spectrum again, these are the points where you probably have Liouville theorem. Probably, since you cannot exclude that this maximum looks like a Mexican hat. It's possible. But in general position, you assume it's not happening. So essentially, the answer is it happens on the edges of the spectrum. However, you can also envision the following picture of dispersion relation. You can have a conical singularity in dispersion relation, and then you will have finite Fermi surface somewhere inside of the spectrum, where you pass exactly through the singularity. It seems to be non-generic thing. You perturb a little bit and it's gone. These two guys part. But, and this also relates to the previous talk, there is a carbon structure, graphene, in which this thing, this picture, this conic singularity, in other words, finite Fermi surface inside of the spectrum, is enforced but just by symmetry of graphene, and it doesn't go anywhere. No matter what you do with potential, it will be there. So there are no trivial examples when you have Liouville theorems inside the spectrum. Now, let me show you how this theorem is, again, it takes many pages, but it's extremely simple theorem. If you are prepared in Fallacian block theory, then it takes 5 minutes to explain the proof. So now let me show you an application. So I told you that in holomorphic case, even Z covering was not understood. Now I give you the two-line proof. So if you have abelian covering of a compact complex manifold, and then the dimension of all VNs is finite. Why? Here I gave you the recipe. You need to look at solutions that look as follows, that they are automorphic with respect to shifts. But look, what does it mean solution? It's solution of D-bar equation, so this holomorphic function. Now look at this functional relation and take absolute value. Then it will kill the exponent, and therefore you will see that absolute value is periodic. But since it's periodic, it attains a maximum. Maximum principle says that your function is constant. And therefore, k is mandatorily zero. There is only one point in the Fermi surface. That's the whole proof. One point, the previous theorem says that all the n's are finite dimensional. And this is what people couldn't proved before. Now, before I go any further, I will repeat that exactly the same thing holds for coverings of graphs. If you have an abelian covering of a compact graph, exactly the same theorem applies. Now, what I want to do, I want to go to dimension counting. I'm not satisfied with just knowing that it's finite dimensional. I want to see whether I can count dimensions. And the answer is I can. And it's given again in those terms that come from essentially solid state physics and spectral theory. So here is, let me explain what is written here. So this is your dispersion curve, and you're sitting here. Actually, it should be zero. You remember, I assume that we are talking about zero in this picture. So this is zero. And you have this picture. You barely touch the dispersion curve. Then what you see is this lambda of k near maximum. If it is simple eigenvalue, that's what I will be assuming, and there is a theorem proving that generically, for generic operator, it's always simple here, then standard perturbation theory says that lambda of k is an analytic function of k. Now you expand it into Taylor series. Here is expansion into the Taylor series. What does it mean, Taylor series? In several variables, Taylor series means expansion into homogeneous polynomial. So lambda sub L is a homogeneous polynomial of degree L of this. What is K naught? K naught is where the extremum is located. So you expand it to Taylor series, your lambda of K, your dispersion curve, into homogeneous polynomials. Now it should start with some term. So what is the lowest L that you could see? First of all, the maximum is at the level 0, and it's maximum. This means that the lowest L naught you can possibly see is 2. If the extremum is non-degenerate, this L naught is 2. Now, here is the answer. If L naught is the degree of the first term, first non-zero term in the Taylor expansion here, then here is the answer. That's the dimension. Now notice what answers this formula. There is nowhere dimension of the manifold D, you can see. It's not here. It's not in the formula. The only way the manifold might try to influence the dimension is influencing L naught, but it won't be able to do the sizer as well. So this is the formula. In particular, it says that if in the extremum the Hessian is not identically zero, you have as many polynomially growing solutions as harmonic polynomials. In what dimension? Not in dimension of your manifold, but in the dimension of the rank of your DEC group. So you see the group, you don't see the manifold. Well, one thing here which is strange, and I didn't believe it when we proved it till I sat down and computed examples and persuaded myself. You see, what is L naught? It's the first non-zero term of Taylor series, but it could be degenerate. For instance, Hessian could have one zero square and one non-zero square. It's perfectly fine. I don't care whether it's degenerate or not. The answer changes only if the whole Hessian completely dies out. So it's extremely robust thing, and it only proves that it's not a complicated statement. Now, some remarks. I've already made this remark about graphene operators, and by the way, this preprint with all of post is also in that box that we have in the library. Then the dimension of manifold does not explicitly enter the answer. From highbrow point of view, it's something what Gromov explains. It's his ideology that you don't see those small details of geometry from afar. But in mathematical physics and PDEs, it's what is called homogenization. You don't see small details of the structure. The strange thing is that homogenization normally, the way it's normally done, only works at the bottom of the spectrum. Here, we have homogenization happening at each edge of the spectrum, wherever it is. And it gave us an idea that there should be kind of homogenization theory at internal spectral edges, and we mentioned this to Biermann and his student Suslina, and they did develop such theory. It's more complicated than standard. Now, another comment. Gromov and Shubin, about 10 years ago, and Nadirashvili before them, proved some kind of Riemann-Roch theorems for elliptic equations. What those theorems do, they allow solutions, they prescribe certain divisors for solutions. So, for instance, you pick several points, you pick certain numbers there, and you, if the numbers are positive, you request that solutions have zero of that order at those points. If they are negative, you allow poles of that order at those points. And what they did, they essentially kind of computed the number of such solutions. Actually, they computed index in the space of such solutions. And what they did in terms of the answers and techniques looked pretty amazingly similar, although the question seems to be different, amazingly similar to Liouville theorems, and we are now working, it looks like there is combined kind of a theorem that covers both Riemann-Roch and Liouville. Now, I already mentioned that I don't need that the first Taylor term is non-degenerate. I only need that it's not zero. And now one more thing. When I was presenting this result some time ago, Diakonis asked me, this L naught, this kind of degree of degeneracy of the dispersion curve, how hard is it to compute? And my answer was, and it's still now, it's not hard to compute, it's impossible. Absolutely impossible to compute, but in my view. But what is possible, should be possible, it should be true that for generic operator, it's always two. In other words, the dispersion curve has generically non-degenerate extrema. Well, it should be a simple theorem. Good people have tried to do this. No one has succeeded so far. But it should be, it doesn't look like it should be very complicated. So essentially, generically, the answer would be, first of all, you have Liouville theorems only at the edges of the spectrum. And for general position operator, you have exactly as many solutions as harmonic polynomials. So, and then there are references that you can look up on web seminars if you are interested. So that's all I wanted. It's unusual for me. I finish early. I never do this. But I'm glad I did this time. So, late afternoon.
Questions or comments? This Riemann-Roch theorems you mentioned by Gromov, are they only for two-dimensional things, or you can have
for classical Riemann-Roch theorems are for Riemannian surfaces. This is for any compact manifold with an elliptic operator on it. If you prescribe a divisor of zeros and singularities that you enforce an allowance solution, they actually couldn't compute the dimensions. Normally, you cannot compute the dimension of space of solutions. It's all usually impossible. What you can compute index. Here, we were lucky you can compute dimensions. For some reason, there is the dual part. The other part of the index is not there. It's zero. So this kind of combination of computing dimensions of solutions and indices, but it looks like we are figuring out this already. So soon we will be able to present a combined theorem that will... Liouville theorem, in some sense, is Riemann-Roch type theorem, since you prescribe singularity at infinity. It's like divisor at infinity. So if you imagine that you fold the manifold, then compactify the manifold, it's just prescribing a divisor. It's kind of Riemann-Roch type. But then if you do this, if you compactify, you screw up the whole periodicity. So it doesn't look very good. But you can combine those theorems.
The zeros usually are not points anymore.
Hmm?
The zeros are a whole surface or more infinite dimension, infinite sets, right? I mean, if you talk about the harmonic functions and the zeros.
Yeah, but you can still pose the question. You prescribe a zero, a single point zero, and you enforce an order at this point. It's a valid question. But there are generalizations for divisors which are not single points but compact sets. There is.
No more questions. Thanks to Peter again.